So our brain, like I talked about, we have the different hemispheres, left and right. We've got our different brain stem, our pons, our medulla. We've got all these different components that make up what we traditionally just consider the brain, that cartoon drawing that even your kids or you remember as a kid just always seeing. But it's a little more complex than that in the realm of healthcare professionals. So a couple different components to kind of think about in case you see it on the advancement exam, stuff to kind of read about is going to be your medulla oblongata. Everyone remembers that movie. The medulla oblongata is why they're so angry and all them teeth, right? Well, that's actually that nerve central, and it's going to be that white matter. Now, white matter is actually going to be that intricate system of all of the nerves. So that's what we're going to say. The medulla oblongata is nerve central. Now, your pons and your midbrain, that's all part of the brainstem with the medulla. And so that's going to come right through the posterior side. That's going to come and kind of house right there on that back lower side. And so those three make up your brainstem. Your cerebellum is going to be that balance, that harmony, that kind of keep everything in order. So everything's not necessarily spinning. Your equilibrium, that's in your ears, you know that. But that cerebellum helps with the coordination. So when you actually reach for something, you're actually going to be able to get it. It helps also equate into things like your depth perception. It balances out all things. So balance, harmony, coordination, cerebellum. The way I remember that is you got two L's in cerebellum, and if you don't have that balance, if you don't have that coordination, they would fall over. So you got two columns right there. So that's the way I remember cerebellum, balance, coordination, harmony. Your cerebrum, again, that's that classic cartoon brain. It's actually that hemisphere, that line down the middle that separates these two hemispheres. That's what that is. That's that classic depiction of a brain. So the last thing I want to touch on doing these strokes is going to be your hypothalamus. So your hypothalamus, if you see anything in terms of what components are going to help regulate your body temperature, that's your answer. Your hypothalamus is going to help balance out and coordinate the chemical and biological needs of your body to help regulate that body temperature. So you're going to see that get affected if you see febrile seizures and things. So your hypothalamus is no longer able to compensate for whatever infection or whatever has been introduced in your body causing that reaction. So what's going on in your brain? What is your brain? In that sense, understanding those components, getting into the smaller stuff is absolutely a smart, a professional decision. But in terms of your advancement exam purposes, getting the understanding of what they do and where they are and how they work together is going to be kind of your stuff to touch on, because you got plenty of other forms and policies and procedures and inspection stuff that you're going to need to get into. Now, we've talked a little bit about the different things that make up the brain. We have a brain right here, but what we're going to talk about here is your cranial nerves. So understanding that there's 12 cranial nerves that are going to kind of feed into your senses and your smell, your touch, temperature, all of these different pieces here. Again, this picture is actually in the book. I highly encourage you to pull that, as well as you're going through and you're looking at these, there's a list here. And so this is going to tell you, so nerves are broken down by motory or sensory. So if it's a motor nerve, it's going to help engage something. It's going to help create that action to get that desired reaction from you. Whereas a sensory is going to help detect things, pick things up, identify if something is happening. So an example I like to use is the reflex. So where you're going to have the hot skillet. So we know that in a traumatic injury, if you've seen, say, the movie Black Hawk Down, all right, stay with me on this. All right, I'm trying to shake things up and let you imagine some different perspectives here. Your body has a natural reaction to pull anything in and protect itself. So, Black Hawk Down, classic military war movie where there was a significant trauma event. Now, we know how to treat those today, but in the injuries that occurred there, a member got shot in the pelvis and the artery retracted. Now, the medic in the movie said he can't reach it, it's retracted too far. And that's because it creates that self-contained tourniquet, if you would. It's trying to pull in and hold tight. The same sensory reaction occurs when you touch a hot skillet. When you touch that hot skillet, you don't say, oh, that was hot. No, you touch it, even if you just touch it for a split second, and it didn't even burn you, but you picked up that heat and you identified that you didn't want to keep your hand on there or you would have an injury, you always pull your hand all the way in. You pull as far back and as fast into your body to protect yourself. So that's kind of the same sensory reactions that these 12 cranial nerves and everything kind of feed into. So you have the list here, and there's different sentences. The 14295 Bravo gives you a couple sentences. It gives you two sentences, in fact. And so, again, this is in here. You can print this off and blow it up as I did here. But it gives you the nerve. So your olfactory, for instance, your first cranial nerve. Olfactory is going to be your sense of smell. So your olfactory is your number one, and it's a sensory nerve. Well, how are you going to remember that? You got all these other ones going on. Well, in terms of what they are, the olfactory or your facial, your abductus, well, you have on Old Olympus, Tiny Tops, a friendly Viking, groove vines, and hops. It's a goofy sentence and it doesn't really make any sense, but if you write it out and you keep learning it, and you can also create your own sentence as well, get creative, try to come up with something that's relevant to your command or something, and maybe you and your study mates can help better get a grip on it, but that'll help you remember the names of the nerves. Now, in terms of trying to help identify if it's a sensory or a motor, the 14295 Bravo gives you another sentence as well, and that's going to be, some say marry money, but my brother says bad business marry money. And so that's going to identify, again, that sensory, that motor, or that mixed. So, but you're never going to have, it's never going to be anything outside of those. But it may be both. That's a little bit on the cranial nerves. There's different tests you can do. I highly encourage you, link up with your provider, link up with your senior corpsman. They can show you the different tests that you can do for the cranial nerves. And that might help sink it in. And that's just also part of that, being able to do an appropriate and well put together and thorough patient physical exam. Here, that same, that reflex arch. So, touch something hot, right? The receptor and that stimulus, that hot skillet that I was talking about, that signal immediately transfers up to the brain. Your central nervous system says, I don't like that, immediately comes down, and you're going to be either pushing it away or pulling your hand away regarding what it is. It is not limited to motor functions. Like I said, you're going to be kind of thinking about that artery that when that soldier got shot in the pelvis, his artery retracted into his pelvis. It's because it's just on a biological level, everything gets sucked in. Everything comes home for protection. And so that's what your brain's primal instinct is going to want to do. All right, moving on. We're going to talk about your eyes, right? Some of you are criers. Some of you are familiar with this. Some of you aren't. You may not know what's happening if your eyes start to water. But something I want you to kind of focus on are the different canals in your sacs or lacrimal ducts. So these glands. When you cry, think about even if allergy season. Some of you have bad allergies. Some of you may be at a duty station. You never had allergies before, and the Navy put you in a lovely place where you learned something new about yourself. Congratulations. So what you can see here is where your eyes, you have your channels and your ducts, everything meets here. Well, you have your nasal cavity, and you can see that they're actually connected. So when you're thinking in terms of why someone's like, I can't breathe, my nose is all stopped up, my eyes are always watering. That's actually the one reaction. It's actually the two pieces right there coming together, and that means you're kind of topping off that sac, so to speak. And so that's something there. I would just understand the basic components in terms of how they connect. Again, once you start getting the building blocks, you'll start getting into the smaller stuff that may be outside of the advancement exam. But for advancement exam purposes, understand the basic biological connections between them and how they're going to channel together and react. Understand that it's going to be, think about debris, think about the allergic reactions, and how that's going to kind of tie into it and help, because it's a really a defensive mechanism. It helps filter stuff out, helps keep things out instead of it getting in where it doesn't have to filter it. So that's where you're going to want to make your money, and just kind of understand those basic components. So the last pieces that we're going to touch on is your body's ability to filtrate. So the filtration components, you're going to want to make sure, we talked about the adrenal system, we're going to talk about there a little bit how they're associated with the kidneys, but understanding the kidneys and the liver's that nice big filter that we have that helps us out. You want to take care of your liver, and if you drink in excess, your filter is what's taking the big hit and helping process that. So the chemical process and the biological process with, say, cirrhosis is in due to the overuse and the misuse of your liver, for example. So here we're looking at, we have the arteries, we have our veins, we have how they're feeding in, and we have our urinary system. Now up here, you're going to see you have your spleen, you have your adrenal glands, you have your kidneys, you have your liver, your pancreas. These are all kind of tied in to help you break down, process, and properly dispose of the materials and the minerals that are either in excess or unwanted. And so as we feed down here, we're gonna look at tying these in together, where your urinary system is you expelling all of these unwanted or excess minerals and materials. Your bladder, for instance, is gonna hold up to around 600 ml. Around 250 is when you're gonna start having that urge. So everyone's had that where it's like, really, really, really gotta go. You've started feeling that around 250. You may be at 400, for instance, 400 ml. So it actually holds quite a bit. The body's amazing. Now, in terms of your skin, in terms of your urinary system and how everything gets in, something that just to kind of help tie in, like how fast is it working? What's the process? How do we know that the bladder system and your kidneys and everything are filtrating appropriately? Well, think about when you jump in a pool. So everyone's jumped in a pool all of a sudden, and if you get that sudden urge to pee. Now, whether you do it or not in the pool is none of my business. However, that sudden urge to pee comes from that sudden change in temperature. Anything below your body temperature can create hypothermia. So our body's designed to be kind of functioning around a 98.8 degrees. So even at 92 degrees, if your body was at 92 degrees, yeah, that's very warm outside, but you're still going to be hypothermic. Well, most water is not going to be 90-something degrees. So what happens is you jump in, that sudden temperature change, all the extracellular fluids, all the blood in your skin, everything kicks in until it makes sure that it has that homeostasis that it wants, and it immediately starts filtering in a reaction for survival mode, because it doesn't know what's about to happen. It doesn't know what the situation is that it's in. So as all of that circulating starts going through and it starts getting filtered at a higher rate of speed, your bladder kicks up and it all of a sudden triggers because it's processed a little bit extra than it was planning to while your body processes the fluids and the nutrients and everything. And thus, you have a sudden urge to pee. So So your body is able to function and process this stuff very quickly, very efficiently, from a healthy standpoint. Different diseases and disease processes, that's where you're going to start seeing the changes. Now, you're not necessarily going to see that on your advancement exam. Why do you have to pee when you jump in a pool? But it's going to help tie that in while you're reading about it, because I'm not going to pretend like it's going to be a fun details to read and to study, because this is not, again, it's not an anatomy and physiology class, and this is not the, watching these videos is not the only path to success on your advancement exam. It is merely a tool that we have on NavyBMR.com. Now, the other diagram that I had a little bit before had also the male and female reproductive systems, understanding the gonads, understanding the urethra, and understanding the path from the urinary system. The urethra can have injuries. So, for instance, I talked about a Marine that got run over in Afghanistan after getting blown up. His urethra, for instance, when that pelvis was crushed, actually tore out. And so he had to have surgery to repair not only the pelvis and not only the other organ systems that had some associated damage and injuries from it, but he also had to have that specifically. His urinary system essentially had to be rewired. And so from significant injury standpoints, the bladder, for instance, is a hollow organ. So that's another thing when you're looking at your organ systems. What's hollow? What's solid? And that'll help you determine what kind of injuries you can expect. But not only that, but it's going to help you associate with, like, what's a filter, what's not a filter, what's designed to fill up or not, so to speak. But everything can be tied together with all the little details. For your success on the Navy-wide advancement exam, from a starting point, get familiar with the body as a whole. Understand what is going on with Winston, for instance. So Winston was with us a little bit earlier. Understanding what makes him what he is. Understanding the chemistry and the makeup of some of the different reactions that your body is having. Those are things that are going to help lead you down a path of success. We didn't have a lot of instructions in this one. We're going to have instructions on the next one. We're going to have instructions on the one after that. We had instructions previously, and we're always having new stuff come out. But anatomy and physiology, just taking it bit by bit as you're doing your daily training, as you're learning how to be a more proficient medical professional, the anatomy is not going to change. So this is not something that you want to just ditch and forget. It's going to help you with that patient care. It's going to help you where we make our money in a good, sound, and thorough patient assessment. Understanding the body, understanding your patient, understanding what's going on. So it used to be where if you were with specific units, they were all male. So the idea of, well, I don't need to know a female instruction, or I don't need to know the female body as well as I need to know the man's chemical or physiological makeup. Well, that's different now. We know that with the new times, the new way the Navy and the Marine Corps has shifted, that you now have men and women associated with any and all commands. So as a healthcare professional, regardless of where you are, regardless of what your NEC is, regardless of what your rank is, the anatomy and physiology part just comes with time, comes with practice, and it comes with you taking the time to invest a little bit into your own professional knowledge. So again, I want to thank you for joining me at NavyBMR.com. I highly encourage you to please check out some of the other resources we have. We have practice exams, study guides, we have links for all the different instructions, audio files, and the other resources available to you to lead to your success. I hope you enjoyed this. I want to thank you again for joining me. My name is Steve with NavyBMR.com, and I'll see you next time.